Well, I don't know about you, but my heart has just been stirred here this evening to be in the Lord's house. I hope you're excited and glad to be in the Lord's house this evening. And boy, I just enjoyed singing all those hymns that you picked tonight, Pastor John. Those were some excellent ones, some of my favorites. And it was great singing out there. It's great to sing around you folks and just hear and be encouraged through the hymns. And I was greatly encouraged as well through the young people and the song that they played for us with the bells. They did a great job, and just those great words, some great things to think about. You can take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll begin in this passage this evening, 1 Peter chapter 5, and then we're going to actually step into the Old Testament for some of the time tonight. 1 Peter chapter 5 in the Word of God. It's great to see a great crowd tonight. Even though Pastor isn't here, so you probably didn't know who was going to be preaching tonight. You'll be wishing he was here probably after the service, right? No, I'm just kidding. We do need to pray that he gets back to health and is with us once again. 1 Peter chapter 5. I wonder if you've ever been in a situation where you go to get something at home or somewhere and you realize it's not there. And maybe it's just not in its normal spot. Maybe you park in a different location one of the evenings and you go out after the service and you think somebody else stole your car, or you just aren't sure what happened. Or maybe you placed your keys in a spot that you just don't normally and then you couldn't find them. Well, in a way, I'm kind of like that tonight because I'm preaching from a Bible that I don't always use. And so you have to bear with me if I take a moment to find a verse that's, because it's not in its usual spot. So it's not a different version. It's just a different Bible that I don't normally use. So, all right, 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'm going to read to you just verse 8. It's a familiar verse, but it's going to provide the foundation that I want for the message and the truth that we're going to look at this evening. And it's just some great truths in this verse that we always need to be reminded of. But 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." We need to be reminded tonight that there is an enemy. We have a great foe, a great adversary that's seeking whom he may devour. Be sober, be vigilant. The devil, he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. You know, the enemy, the devil is not just some little foe, some little thing we don't need to worry about too much. No, he's a great enemy. And for the child of God, how important it is for us to be vigilant, to be sober. Because he is real. He is seeking to destroy each life here tonight. That phrase, roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. If you, maybe as a young person, you went to the zoo. I kind of have in my mind this image of a lion just kind of pacing back and forth right at the window front there as he sees all that dinner right outside on the other side of the window. He's a lion, roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I also have images in my mind from, I remember going soul-winning with my dad when I was a little guy. And, you know, every bark you thought that it was a German Shepherd or a Rottweiler or something like that. So I just remember, even in my mind, that picture, like those dogs just ready to pounce, ready to attack, you know, a new stranger there at the door or something like that. And just thinking about that a little bit, you always were glad when the chain was short enough. You know, you thought maybe they were coming right for you and then they got yanked back. But that was the idea there of a roaring lion. He's seeking to devour, to attack. Now, I'm just laying a foundation here for us tonight of who the devil is. He's trying to destroy. He's trying to ruin our life. You know, the devil, he wants to keep souls out of heaven. He's working at it. We see that in 2 Corinthians, I think it is. He's blinded the eyes of them which believe not. He's working at keeping people out of heaven. You know, he is seeking to destroy the souls of men eternally in hell. And he is working to keep people out of heaven. And just as I thought about that, I thought, man, shouldn't we be working hard that souls might experience heaven? If the devil's working to keep them out of the heaven, we ought to be working to make sure they get to go to heaven. But the devil, he's working. He's a roaring lion seeking to devour souls and keep them out of heaven. He wants to get Christians out of the center of God's will. If you're a child of God here tonight, you can count on the fact that he is seeking and doing everything he can to get you out of God's will for your life. You know, you shouldn't be so naive to think, oh, he's not that bad of an enemy. He's not that destructive. No, he is trying to get you out of God's plan, his will. He wants you to miss all the blessing that God has for your life. That's how he's seeking to destroy and devour here tonight. You know, I just think tonight of a lot of people I know, have known, that today are out of the center of God's will. They're not where God wants them to be. And let me encourage you and remind you here tonight, don't let the devil get you out of the center of God's will. Don't be deceived. Don't let him devour your life in that way by getting you off track, by getting you deterred from the path. The plan that God has for your life. I think of a lot of young people here tonight. Man, if the devil could get you off track when you're young, boy, he's done himself a whole lot of good. And the devil is trying to get people out of the center of God's will. He's also seeking to destroy people with sin. He's that devouring enemy, that lion seeking to devour, and he uses sin to destroy us. Just glance with me over at Ephesians chapter 6, would you? Paul calls these tactics of Satan in Ephesians chapter 6, the wiles of the devil. We'll see that there in Ephesians 6:11. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." That's the idea of scheming, craftiness. The craftiness of the devil to lure a person, to tempt them, to get them to fall. And that's what the devil is seeking to do, the wiles of the devil. The Old Testament is rich with lessons we can learn from. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, "Now all these things are written for our admonition." That's for us here today, for our admonition, for our instruction, for our warning. And we have such great truths and lessons we can learn in the Old Testament that God has given specifically for us tonight, for our admonition, for our instruction. You know, the fact is, we are humans just like the people in the Old Testament. We're no different. The people we read about in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, the children of God, we're just the same flesh as them. We struggle with the same thing. We make the same mistakes that they make. The ways we see Satan seeking to destroy, the roaring lion seeking to destroy the people of Israel, are some of the same tactics or wiles Satan is using today to destroy the people of God. You know, people haven't changed. We're still the same. We're just years apart, okay? We're still people. We're still human. And we can learn some lessons from people in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, that apply to us today. The ways that the devil destroyed and hindered the work of God in the Old Testament and with the nation of Israel are some of the same tactics he's using today to destroy God's people. And there's just a few important truths tonight that are significant that I'd like us to look at. And the title of my message tonight is Avoiding the Devourer. Avoiding the Devourer. And we're going to see, how did the devil, the roaring lion, get the nation, the children of Israel, to sin? The first thing I want us to note is by a murmuring and complaining spirit. The devil used that, a murmuring and complaining spirit. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 14. And this is just one of my favorite passages in the Old Testament. But Numbers chapter 14, some great truths that we can learn. The devil used this wile, this tactic of a murmuring and complaining spirit to destroy and to hinder the progress, the work that God was wanting to do. We see in Numbers 14, beginning in verse 1, it says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes." The devil used this tactic of a murmuring and complaining spirit to devour, to hinder the work of God. You see, tonight, a murmuring and complaining spirit reveals a lack of faith. It reveals a lack of faith. You see, Moses and Aaron, Joshua and Caleb, they had faith, didn't they? They believed that God would open the door and allow them to seize and conquer the land. They had faith. They believed that God could win the battle. But you see, that murmuring and complaining spirit revealed a lack of faith in the nation of Israel, the people of God. It revealed a lack of faith. They had an unbelieving spirit. Look again, or look then at verse 7. "And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. Listen to the faith of these four men. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not." Then listen to the unbelief, the lack of faith. "But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them?" A murmuring and complaining spirit reveals a lack of faith. You know, when we murmur, when we complain, we're doubting God. We are unbelieving. We don't believe that the situation we are in is going to work out. We don't believe that God is in control and that whatever situation we find ourselves in, He can work it out. And so what happens? We start murmuring. We start complaining about the situation. And we don't factor God into the situation. You know, this is such a prevalent thing today among Christians. Murmuring and complaining. A lack of faith. Every time you open your mouth in unbelief, in a complaining and murmuring spirit, it reveals your unbelief. It reveals your lack of faith. And it hinders the work of God. It hinders the progress that God wants to make. It also limits one's spiritual advancement. It reveals a lack of faith, but it hinders or limits one's spiritual advancement. Look at verse 3. We already read it, but it says, "And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" It hinders their progress. They weren't going to go forward. Look at verse 29 of chapter 14. "Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me." You see, there's only two options, either backwards or forwards. See, that's the only place we can go. Either we're going to go backwards or we're going to go forward. And unbelief, or I should say, murmuring and complaining spirit will hinder your spiritual advancement. You're not going to be able to go forward. What did the nation of Israel, the children of Israel that had a lack of faith, what did they want to do? They thought it would have been better to go back into Egypt. They thought it was better to turn back. And here they began to complain and to murmur. And what was the result? All those that murmured and complained, their carcasses fell in the wilderness. They didn't get to go into the land that God had promised them. You know, I wonder if your spiritual advancement, your spiritual growth has been hindered because of a spirit of murmuring and complaining. You know, we can always find something to complain about. We can always find something to murmur about. But you know, it's going to have an effect upon your life. It's going to have a spiritual effect upon you. It also influences other people. A murmuring and complaining spirit influences other people. You see, these four men, Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb, they believed that God could give them the land. They wanted to go forward. But what happened? These 10 other spies, they started to be negative. They started to complain and think, oh, we can't go into that land. God won't. There's giants there. We won't be able to get into that city. And what did that do? It permeated and it influenced all the other people in that congregation. I guarantee it, if those 10 spies, 10 of the other spies would have been filled with faith and said, we are more than able to go into that land and conquer it, I guarantee it, the rest of the nation of Israel would have gone with them. And they wouldn't have wasted those 40 years in the wilderness. Our murmuring and complaining spirit influences other people. How critical in a church, in a body, is it that we don't have this kind of a spirit pervading in God's house? Because it will influence other people. That spirit will influence the person next to you. It will influence the other person. And especially if a person is weak, they're going to be influenced by it. And you have to be conscious of that. You know, there is no place for a murmuring or complaining spirit. You know, if there's something that needs to be worked out, it can be done the right way. But you know, there's no place for a murmuring and complaining spirit. You know, in the home, there shouldn't be any murmuring and complaining. That ought not to be a part of our lives. Now, we're humans, and it's just sometimes a human nature. But you know, we ought to be guarded against that. That's why we ought to be sober and vigilant to not let the devil get in that area. But you know what? How careful are we in our homes of allowing this murmuring and complaining spirit? Do we let kids come home and start murmuring and complaining? Do we come home and from work and we start just complaining and murmuring about all the bad things? Do we just, you know, is this kind of a spirit pervading in our lives, in our homes? Just think about in your life. How do people know you? Do they know you as a person of faith, as a person that can believe God, or as a person that's always complaining and just upset and, you know, always griping about something? Well, that kind of a spirit is going to influence, and it reveals a lack of faith in a person's life. And let me just reiterate, you know, in a body, how important is it that the body is working properly and there's not divide or fighting against each other? You know, we're the people of God and we ought not let the devil's tactic of murmuring and complaining spirit get in and destroy us like it destroyed so many of the nation of Israel. There's a great truth here, a murmuring and complaining spirit. We need to avoid the roaring lion, the devourer, that's seeking to destroy and hinder your life and your progress. So, the first thing that the devil did was he used a murmuring and complaining spirit. A murmuring and complaining spirit. The second thing we see here, or we're going to look at, is the devourer also used a negative view of authority. A negative view of a leader. We can just look at the nation of Israel here at this critical point of their life. And what happens? They begin to mock Moses. They begin to say, oh, you just let us here so that we could die, so that our children and our wives would be prey. And you just let us up here for this reason. And they began to there began to be a negative view of authority. You see, a negative view of authority produces a dissatisfaction of authority. See, are you dissatisfied with where God's placed you? Are you dissatisfied with the authorities in your home? You think, why does my parents have to do this? Why do they have to force me to do this? Why do they have to do this? Why does my dad have to tell me this? I can't do that. You know, are you dissatisfied with authority in your life? Let's look at Numbers 14 once again. Let me read through verses 2 through 4. And I want you to just hear that dissatisfaction among the people of God here. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Wow, the epitome of rebellion against the authority that God had given them. They said, let us make another captain, somebody else. Moses and Aaron, they're failing. They're just destroying our lives. They let us here and we're going to be destroyed. Let's make another captain. And of all things, go back to Egypt. They forgot all that God had promised them, the land that was before them, that God had promised them. Now, think about this dissatisfaction in several different relationships. You know, children to parents. You know, you can't change the fact that your parents are your parents. Right? You can't change that. And we ought not to be dissatisfied with that and think, who are these, my parents? Who are they telling me what to do? I don't want them as my authorities in my life. Think about in the relationship of even a wife to a husband, or students to teachers, or church members to the spiritual leader that God has given to us, the pastor. You know what? A negative view of authority will produce a dissatisfaction of authority. Okay? And if that's the case, if there's a negative view, if there's that wrong view of the authority that God has given, it will lead to a dissatisfaction of them. And seeking other means. And like they said, they wanted another captain that would lead them. We also see a negative view of authority contradicts God's structure of authority. A negative view of authority contradicts God's structure of authority. Turn with me over to Joshua. Joshua chapter 3. And this is just an awesome book. After reading all the times that they failed God, here they are in Joshua, and Joshua leads them into the land. They are conquering. They're seeing God go before them and win these battles. And I just love the book of Joshua. But people need leaders. All right, get that in your mind tonight, that people need leaders. That's just the structure of God's working as for leaders. And in Joshua chapter 3, in verse 7, it says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. God, people need leaders. The nation of Israel, they needed Moses. They needed Aaron. They needed Joshua. And if you were to keep reading, they needed Gideon and other men to lead them. You know, it's not, it doesn't somehow reveal that, it reveals that we're weak, that we need somebody to guide us, to lead us. But, you know, we're not some it's not a negative thing for us to come to that fact that, oh, I need a leader over me. I need somebody to lead me. No, that's just part of the structure that God has ordained. And we need to submit. We need to humble ourselves to that fact. And we need leaders in our lives. Everybody has leaders. A person in authority over their life. A leader establishes the direction the people need to go. So we're on that second point here of a negative view of authority contradicts God's structure of authority. And a leader establishes the direction the people need to go. It's important for us to remember how the Bible compares us to sheep that go their own way. The sheep that just wander and they go their own way and they need a shepherd to guide them, to lead them. And that's who we are here tonight. We're sheep that need a shepherd. And the leader is the one that establishes the direction based on God's word and what God has called them to do. Gives the direction that the people need to go. Also, a leader is called and enabled by God. He's called and enabled by God. You know what? Joshua wasn't just some person that woke up one morning and said, okay, I want to go lead the nation of Israel. You know, I think that's what I'm going to do today. No. God chose him. God enabled, God empowered him to be the leader that the nation of Israel needed. And we need to recognize that the leader that God, or an authority that God places in our life, is placed there by God. Okay, he's placed them there. Look in Joshua chapter 1 and verses 5 through 9. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. See, God is the one that calls and enables a leader, as he did here with Joshua. And Joshua was the one chosen by God to lead the nation of Israel. You see, we can't have a negative view of authority. And that's one of the wiles. That's one of the ways that the devil will get in and destroy your life. And destroy that person's life that has that kind of a view. It produces a dissatisfaction and it contradicts God's structure. You see, God has an ordained structure. We see it in the home. We see it in a family. We see it in the church. And it's just naturally part of God's plan is that there's authority in our life. You know, we ought to seek authority's counsel. You know, children, we ought to seek our parents' advice. We shouldn't neglect them. We shouldn't leave them out of the picture of our life. We shouldn't leave them out of important decisions in our life. The same goes with any other authority in our life. Seek their counsel. You think of Joshua here. He was specifically chosen by God. And it would have been foolish for the people of Israel to do contrary to what Joshua wanted them and commanded them to do. Because Joshua was the one God chose. And authorities in our life that God has placed are ones that he's placed there. And he will work through our authorities that he places there. And we need to seek the counsel of authorities in our life. So, we've seen, first of all, that the devil used, the devourer used in the nation of Israel, a murmuring and complaining spirit Also, he used a negative view of authority. How is your view of authority here tonight? Are you willing just to submit to the authority? Just say, okay, God, this is who you've placed in my life. These are my parents. This is my pastor. This is my teacher. I'm willing to submit to it. This is my boss. God, I'm going to submit. I'm going to humble myself and be under that authority that God has placed in my life. We see, thirdly and lastly here this evening, the thing I want to point out is the devourer also used the tactic of a temporal mindedness. A temporal mind. A focus on the temporal. A temporal mindedness values personal interest over the truth. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32. A temporal mindedness values personal interests over the truth. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 20. Deuteronomy 32:20, it says, "And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are of very froward generation, children in whom is no faith." That word froward, it's the idea of self-willed. Focused on themselves, focused on their ideas, their plans. They're perverse, they're twisted. And it wasn't just a little bit. It says they are very froward, very pervert. Very self-willed. And a temporal mindedness values personal interest over spiritual things, over that which is eternal, over God's word. And I wonder here, is the devil destroying our lives with this tactic of temporal mindedness? Boy, everything about our society and culture is to draw us and to put our focus on the temporal. It's just interesting that phrase there, for they are a very froward generation. He was describing that the general characteristic of that people as froward, self-willed, focused on temporal things. Children in whom is no faith. May that not be said of us, that we didn't have faith, that we couldn't believe God, that we didn't do that which was right. A temporal mindedness also forgets the things God has done. When we're focused on the temporal things, we listen to other voices. We listen to what other people are saying. And we forget what God has done. We forget the miracles that He has done. In this same chapter, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 18, it says, "Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee." It always seems like there's verses that, even when I read the Bible, like, wow, I've never really seen that verse before. But look at that. "Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee." Boy, isn't that a fitting description of our country? We've forgotten God that formed us. We've forgotten God who blessed us and made us to the country that we are. And we have forgotten God. But a temporal mindedness forgets the things God has done. Let's also turn over to Judges. Judges in chapter 8. We see this point illustrated also once again here. Judges chapter 8. Here, Gideon had just led them. They'd seen a great victory. In verse 33, it says, Judges chapter 8, verse 33, "And it came to pass, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baal-berith their god. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. Neither showed they kindness to the house of Zerubbabel, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord, their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. People, tonight, we ought need to remember the things that God has done in our life. We can all look back to great things that God has done. We ought not to forget the miracle of our salvation. We ought not to forget the work that God has done in bringing us to where we are here today, in transforming and changing our lives. We ought to think back to specific decisions or points in our life where God taught us key decisions or key truths that we needed in our life. We ought not to forget the miracles that God has done in our life. Maybe the way He provided in your life. Maybe the way that God led you in a specific direction. All sorts of things. And you see, if we're temporal minded, we forget those things that God has done. We lose them. We lose sight. We lose track of those kind of things. And you know what? That's when we get off track. When we're walking with God and we're walking with Him and remembering things that He has done, boy, it's easy to walk with God because we think of all that He has done for us. And if He's done that, certainly He's going to continue to lead us and guide us. But when we get focused on the temporal, on things of this earth, of this life, we quickly forget what God has done. And we get off track. And the nation of Israel, how quickly did they forget God? How could they forget that kind of thing? That how God delivered them out of Egypt? How could they forget that? But it says that they remembered not the Lord their God who delivered them out of the hands of their enemies. And if they, the nation of Israel, could do it, you know, certainly for us here tonight, we ought to take heed that we don't forget what God has done. The miracles in our life. The great things that God has done in our life. Certainly we could look at many other things in the history of the nation of Israel and learn important truths and lessons. But I think some of these truths we've looked at here tonight are key and some of the most pervading truths and influential ones that we need to think about here tonight because they're very relative to us here today. Now, to sum things up here, I want us to look back at 1 Peter chapter 5. We started with this, about the devil being a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Did you understand, did you get the point here tonight that the devil is after your life? He's trying to destroy your life. He's trying to get you out of the center of His will. He's trying to get you to undermine the authority that God has in your life. He's trying to get you to have that complaining and murmuring spirit. Why does God have to do this? Why am I the one that has to go through this kind of a thing? Or why am I the one that always, whatever it may be. The devil is trying to, the one that's trying to get us to be focused on temporal minded things. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 8, we see once again those first four words. Be sober. Be vigilant. Tonight, how do we stand against the devil? How do we resist him? Well, we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. That idea of serious-minded. Boy, we ought to be concerned about our spiritual life. If we can go a week without opening the Bible, without getting into God's Word, if we can go a day without seeking God's wisdom and His guidance for our life and for what we're doing, boy, that's not being very serious about our spiritual walk. We need to be sober. The devil, he's a roaring lion seeking how he can devour. He's smarter than us. And he knows how to get us to fall. And we have to be on guard. We have to be sober, serious-minded. We ought not to let anything else cloud our mind or hinder our thinking. Be sober. Be vigilant. The idea of stay awake. Don't go to sleep. Don't be a Christian that's sleeping. Don't be one that's sitting on the sideline. We have to be on guard. We have to be vigilant, awake, watchful. We have to be alert because the devil's seeking to destroy your life. We have to be sober, vigilant, lest we also fall by the same tactics or even other things that the devil is seeking to use to destroy our life. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. If he can get into your life, he's going to. And he's trying to find a way. And if we're not on guard, if we're not vigilant, if we're not doing like what verse 9 says, resisting steadfast in the faith, the devil, the work that he's trying to do, we're going to fall. We're going to be destroyed. And the devil is going to devour us. And I wonder here tonight, maybe you've been devoured, or the devil is devouring your life because of some area in which you have allowed the devil to get in and to begin to destroy and eat away at your life. Tonight, we need to get back on track. Tonight, we need to stand against and resist that work that the devil's trying to do. And get back on guard and say, no, I'm not going to let that again. I'm not going to let those thoughts back into my mind. I'm not going to allow that kind of thinking into my mind. I'm not going to do that kind of thing if it's not pleasing to the Lord. We need to be sober. We need to be vigilant and get back with that kind of attitude in our lives. Do you have a murmuring and complaining spirit? Does that pervade your life? Do you have a negative view of authority that God has placed into your life? What about what you think about? What your focus is in life? If it's just living for this life, what value does that have? If it's living for another dollar, what value does that have? What value is it to us if we... all those things, and our soul is destroyed. Our effectiveness for God is limited. We can't fall to these same tactics that Satan used to devour and destroy many of the people of Israel. I challenge you here tonight, be sober, be vigilant, because the devil's trying to destroy your life. And boy, we've just sensed as God is trying to work in our hearts, in our lives as a church, in this area of winning the lost, the devil doesn't like that. And he's going to start doing all he can to get in and to hinder the work of God. And don't be the person that God's going to use to hinder the work of God. Don't be the person that the devil's going to get in and say, because you weren't being sober or being vigilant, and God, the devil uses you to affect and hinder the work that God's trying to do. God wants to use our church. God wants to use your life. Don't hinder and shortcut the work that God is trying to do in your life. You know, maybe there's a decision that you need to make, and the Spirit of God is putting it on your heart. Don't just push it off. Don't say, no, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not going to listen to what he's saying. No, let the Spirit of God show you the area here in your life. And maybe young people, maybe there's one of these areas that you really need to deal with tonight and say, I'm not going to let the devil use that in my life. Maybe there's an adult and one of these areas is just controlling your life. Deal with it tonight. Let God get the victory. And the devil, he's trying to destroy our life. And if we could see the path we're going on, where it leads us in 20 years, it'd really make us think about tonight. It really make us think, you know, am I going a path that in 20 years from now I'm going to still be in the center of God's will? Or am I on a path that in 20 years from now my life is going to be ruined? I just think of people that had the opportunity, that at one point were in the center of God's will, and today the devil has destroyed their life. They're not being used of God. Don't be that next person. Don't be that kind of a person. The devil, he's trying to destroy your life. But tonight, we need to stand against him. We need to resist that work that he's trying to do and be sober and vigilant. And the fact is, we're on the winning side. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And we have the Lord, we have the Spirit of God indwelling us that can empower us to be victorious against the onslaught of the devil. And I trust that tonight, if we will make those decisions that we need to be... to not be destroyed by the devil. We need to avoid the devourer and what he's trying to do in our life. Let's pray. Lord, tonight, would you just impress upon each person that needs to make a decision tonight, specifically what they need to do. And Lord, we cannot afford to go another day yielding to the devil. We cannot go another day without listening to your voice, without being surrendered and yielded to your will and your way in our lives. And God, I pray that if there's an area in our life that is destroying our life, that the devil is using to destroy us, that we would recognize it with your help and that we would deal with it, that we would stand and we would resist it. And Lord, that we would once again have that guarded spirit of being sober and vigilant against the enemy, against his attacks. Lord, you're seeking to destroy individuals' lives here tonight, young people, adults, parents, leaders in the home, this church. And God, we need your help. And tonight, would you help your people to humble, to be humble, to submit themselves and allow you to change their hearts and their thinking here tonight. And be broken, Lord, over one of these areas, if there's such an area in their life. And Lord, maybe it wasn't an area that was mentioned, but Lord, you're working in somebody's life. May they yield to that work that you're seeking to do. Just simply with heads bowed, as God showed you a specific decision, maybe one of these areas that you need to just say, okay, God, I'm going to submit it. I'm going to yield it back to you. And just simply raising your hand would indicate God has shown me an area where the devil is getting in, and tonight I am going to deal with it. You just simply raise your hand. All right, a number of hands. Thank you. Let me encourage you. In our invitation time, don't just stand there. I mean, you can make the decision there, but be decisive about it. Do something and truly let God transform your life. Lord, would you help each person that raised their hand and maybe even somebody else that didn't, that you're working on their life. May they not yield to the attacks of Satan, what he's trying to do to destroy their life. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God. We thank you for the truths that are there to guide us. We pray that we would take heed, as 1 Corinthians says, that we would let them be for our admonition here tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.